Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Biden today pardoned 39 people and commuted the sentences of 1,500 others. Here's White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
The president has issued more sentence commutations at this point in his presidency than any of his recent predecessors at the same point in their first term.
Lots of questions about the mysterious appearance of drones over New Jersey. White House National Security spokesman John Kirby.
The United States Coast Guard is providing support to the state of New Jersey and has confirmed that there is no evidence of any foreign-based involvement from coastal vessels.
New Jersey Congressman Jeff Van Drew had said the drones may be linked to an Iranian mothership that he says is off the east coast of the U.S. Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul says he'll vote yes when President-elect Donald Trump nominates Pete Hegseth to run the Pentagon.
We've had a good meeting today, and I'm going to be supporting Pete for the nomination for the Department of Defense.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The teenager accused of assaulting and killing 10-year-old Lily Peters in Chippewa Falls in 2022 has entered not guilty pleas. According to court documents, the now 16-year-old is charged with first-degree intentional homicide, sexual assault causing great bodily harm, and child sexual assault. The case is scheduled to move forward in adult court in April, at which time the teen will be identified by name. Judge Stephen Gibbs said he expects the case to be heard in 2026, following delays over whether he would be tried in juvenile or adult court. A man who allegedly faked his own death and went to Eastern Europe now faces a charge of obstructing an officer. Here's Lisa Hale.
45-year-old Ryan Borgwart appeared in court Wednesday afternoon where a judge entered a not guilty plea on his behalf. The criminal complaint said after faking his drowning death in Green Lake, Borgwart took an e-bike to Madison where he hopped a bus to Canada and from there flew to Europe. Green Lake County is seeking $35,000 to $40,000 in restitution for wasting the county's time and resources in searching for him.
With the defense secretary nomination still in the balance, a senator is raising concerns. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
Very troubling. That's what Senator Tammy Baldwin called some of President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet selections. She made the comments at a WisPolitics D.C. event this week. The newly reelected Baldwin seemed happy about the possibility of Sean Duffy, a former Wisconsin congressman leading the Department of Transportation. Baldwin noted that some of Trump's nominees, including former Representative Matt Gaetz, have already been replaced due to controversies.
Marshfield Hillside Cemetery is an official location for the National Wreaths Across America event. It begins at 10 a.m. on Saturday, December 14th. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers' Luke Musgrave returns. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers tight end Luke Musgrave is back at practice after injuring his left ankle against the Vikings late September and finally having surgery about 2 weeks later.
I definitely knew that I hurt it, but we didn't know that it probably needed surgery until after the Rams week.
How's your body feeling now?
Feeling good. Still getting back into it, still working into the ankle, but body feels good. Been in the weight room a lot, so it's been really good.
Some good news for the Badgers football team. Wide receiver Trek Kekahuna changed his mind last night and decided to stay at Wisconsin, but both quarterbacks, Braden Locke and Tyler Van Dyke, have entered the transfer portal. Baseball, the Brewers added two minor league pitchers, Grant Wolfram from the Rangers and Connor Thomas from the Cardinals. Brewers GM Matt Arnold at the winter baseball meetings in Dallas.
We're excited about having Freddie Peralta at the top of our rotation. We had guys like Tobias Meyer step up. Really happy with Aaron Civale at the end of last season. There are a lot of different options there. I think we'd certainly be open to adding another starter as well.
That's Brewers GM Matt Arnold with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Did you know that our Pet of the Week show on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR has helped over 100 animals find their forever homes by connecting with listeners? This is only made possible due to local area businesses, and we hope to help 100 more. Listen to 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR Pet of the Week on Thursdays at 9 AM and find that special friend you've been looking for, or learn how you can help with current needs. Made possible by sponsors like you who help keep this program running for all of the animals in this community.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, lows of 5 to 10 below, and mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the upper teens. A chance of rain and snow showers late Friday night into early Saturday. Cloudy, rain Saturday afternoon. High mid-30s and near 40 Sunday. Currently, it's 4.
Shh, do you want to hear a secret? You have to keep it between us. The Wisconsin Broadcasters Association is currently accepting nominations for the WBA Local Broadcast Legends Award. We'd like your help in nominating one of our community's best, Pamela Hilke. Here's where you come in. If you or someone you know is directly affected by the work Pam has done at WFHR over the last 47 years, send an email describing the reasons you want to nominate Pam to Laura Berg, laura.berg@civicmedia.us. And thank you for keeping this our little secret.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We will be live in Seattle, Washington for a special preview of the Packers taking on the Seahawks. Trigvi Olsen joins me live, as well as our sports reporter, Mike Clemens. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, December 12th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. Today, we are speaking with our good friends from the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department. We have Chad Schooley with us. Chad, good to see you, as always.
Yeah, thanks.
And we have Dan Volt with us, snowmobile and ATV trails coordinator. Dan, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Dan, got to be here with us more so I can get that name right, all right? Sure. The more you're here, I'll get it right. Appreciate the time, you guys, and thanks for being here. I certainly want to start out by thanking you guys and everybody working in your team at the Parks and Forestry Department, or certainly with our trail coordinators out there working so hard, especially this time of year where it's go time for you guys. This is the Super Bowl. This is the time of year for you all. Yeah. And that's kind of where we're going to put a lot of our focus today is the trails, is the snowmobile, ATV trail coordinating and some of that. When it comes to this topic, when it comes to this time of year, how is it at the office, Chad? How is it for you guys, the work, the days? What is a day in the life like over there at the Parks and Forestry Department?
Well, it's usually just kind of that transition time, right, between camping and summer warm weather recreation and looking forward to the cold weather recreation. So
yeah,
but we have a lot of projects going on. So in the past, you know, this may have been kind of a slower portion of the year for our office staff specifically, but I've been giving them a lot of work because we have a lot of projects going on. So
yeah,
we're all involved with that. So yeah.
Before we get too deep into this season, just to rewind for a second to last year, where there was no snow. We got some, but it really we were really hit really hard without not getting hit hard by snow and everything. How much did that affect last year affect this year in preparing the trails or doing any of the work that kind of prep that you guys have to do for this season?
Well, every year is a little different, you know, because through the warm season, you know, we have trees that fall, we have different things. But that was one good thing last year with the winter season having very little snow. We were able to get a lot of projects done that we typically wouldn't, because we'd be spending more time at Powers Bluff and on our trail, winter trails, things like that. So that was a blessing in disguise, but we were only open for 2 days last year at Powers Bluff for tubing and skiing. Some of the snowmobile trails, I don't believe, even opened last year.
Correct.
Some of them did. But obviously there's pros and cons of not having a real snowy winter, but I think people in central Wisconsin, us included, We'd like some snow this year.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I have put the order into Mother Nature, our weather team is telling us, she has heard us.
Yeah.
And just as important for us as it is here, certainly up north, and hoping for them to get some snow.
Absolutely.
And everything.
Right.
For so much of the retail and the workers up that way. Dan, I want to jump into a snowmobile and ATV trail program update as well with you and get kind of an update on the trails and the systems, how that's going in these early days of kind of getting ready for all this, for Mother Nature to drop some snow on us.
Yeah, we're in the process. We have 7 clubs, volunteer clubs, in the central Wisconsin area They basically they get together. They go out. They sign trails, clean trails, brush. A lot of their efforts are reimbursed through the state through a program that we run through the county parks office. They get reimbursed $300 a mile for their efforts. Obviously, that isn't always enough to cover all this, so they do different fundraisers. You got radar runs with the Kellner Knights. Rudolph River Rovers are always got gun raffles. Bakerville's got money raffles. Vesper in that area, they do snow cross with vintage snowmobile sled races and Arpin. They're always doing stuff to kind of help fund, you know, their trail system. And then they're always making it available for all their landowners, because without the landowners, this wouldn't happen. I mean, they're always appreciative to them guys. They throw some gatherings to get people involved, you know, shout outs to their landowners, just as a thank you, because it's a right and a privilege to be able to go on other people's land and enjoy the, you know, scenery and beauty of the county. I mean, without the landowners, it wouldn't work, you know.
To that point, we're happy to every month Sheriff Sean Becker joins us, and Sean and I have talked about this a lot over the years. It's something he's really passionate about, like so many of our individuals, our community members around here love ATVing, love having these trails, but respect so much of these landowners giving up that land to be able to do this, which is always going to remind you to treat these trails with respect. Treat them like you're going to grandma's house for dinner.
Yes.
You know, you don't put your feet on the table at grandma's. Yeah. You sure didn't in my you don't do that. You exactly. Treat it with respect. Treat it like it's your land. Treat it with respect, and we can keep these trails going for many, many years.
And please stay on the trails. That's a big, all the landowners appreciate that. So.
Are there any other things, especially before we're hitting these trails, that kind of remind people of, hey, remember to do this. Remember to keep up on this, everybody. Yeah. Along with some of the stuff we just mentioned there, of course.
Yep. I mean, there's people buy their season passes, you know, the registration, that all helps with the funding to keep everything going. That's things that can be done ahead of time. You know, just getting involved with clubs. You know, if you're interested in snowmobiling, they're always looking for volunteers and fresh backs to help put signs in and do some chainsawing. I mean, you always hear that from clubs. And if you want your trails to succeed, you got to have people willing to go out there. I mean, it's... You get out there on nice days, it's beautiful. It's a good time of year to be out and about. And they're always looking for help.
As long as we're talking about it, I wanted to make sure to get this in here, but sometime in the conversation, another thing that's come up with Sean before and some other of our guests, that these clubs, that we appreciate them and the work that they do and the fun that they create for our communities, they could always use more people. Yep. And we're always looking for younger people, especially to get into this sport and have some fun with this activity and everything. It's something that's still doing well. I would say that the industry, all of that is very healthy, but could always use younger people involved in these things. And that's always encouraged. We encourage you to do that and find out more. And I want to send a big, kind of just open call to any of those clubs out there if they ever want to join us on the air here. I'd love to have them on, love to talk with them, love to talk ATVs and more. This stuff with them and maybe bring a little more members to their clubs. Yes. I think that'd be fun. I did have a quick question for you, Dan, and I just was doing a little prep for the interview here and was thinking about it, and I don't know if I've ever really talked about this with anybody, but we talk a lot about not a lot, but every once in a while it comes up of a trail going away or somebody taking a trail off the land or reminding people to treat these trails with respect. But what if somebody wants to start a trail? What if somebody has some land and they'd like to, I got some land here. Maybe I want to create a trail or something. Is that even possible? Is that something people can do? Am I asking you a question that's above your pay grade?
No.
I'm joking.
No, but, to be honest, the Rudolph River Rovers just came about with some new miles. We got some really ambitious club members that put a lot of time and effort in that area, and they got, it must be about 12 to 14 miles of what we call unfunded trail that they went out on their own and they established. They got the landowner's permission. They picked areas where there wasn't a lot of tree removal or culverts that had to put in. But with that, to get that $300 a mile funded, we got to go through the state. And right now, because we have had lack of snow throughout our state, that fund is very down there.
You know,
it's not... we need to have a few good snow years to build that up, because right now the state is not approving new miles, but this club has put new miles out. So it is possible.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes, you know, we do have landowners once in a while that do back out, unfortunately, for different reasons. You know, sometimes there's change of ownership and they're not snowmobilers, but then we got to go through the process of rerouting. And I mean,
that's a lot.
Yes, it is. You know, sometimes you got it really nice and established. That's why we really have to concentrate on staying on our trails and respecting our landowners, because, again, they're the ones that make it work.
You know? Well said. Well said, Dan. And thank you for all that great information, Dan. Appreciate it, especially what's going on over there in Rudolph. I don't think a lot of us might have known about that. That's what I appreciate that info. I wanted to talk a little bit about the some of the winter recreation opportunities here in Wood County in our Parks and Forestry Department with you, Chad, just a little bit. Got some really fun things in this area that are going on, that are up and coming, and certainly we look forward to. There's a lot of stuff that we kind of know, hey, this is here almost every year. We look forward to it. We can't wait to get out there. There's always new stuff, too. What are some of the things coming up that we wanted to tell people about?
Yeah, so I think what you're referring to maybe is Powers Bluff, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people are aware of that, but it is surprising when we do open how many people even in Wood County have never been to that park, you know, that we talk to up there. But so hopefully, you know, we don't make snow up there, but like you said, you have the order in, so we're going to get some snow this winter. Once we get sufficient snow, we will operate up there, mainly on weekends, Saturday, Sundays, but we do have, school groups that do come out during the week and things like that. So, snow tubing, snow skiing at Powers Bluff. We also have, talking about volunteers, within the last few years, I've talked about this on the show before, but we've, put in multiple miles of trail up at Powers Bluff, additional trail. And we have a really, really dedicated, it's a small group right now, and again, they're looking to grow. We need more hands in that volunteer group, but they basically maintain those trails at this point. You know, we've got 5.5 miles of single-track mountain bike trail. Most of those trails, besides the downhill, which would be a little bit too dangerous in the winter months for grooming and people using it, but most of those miles are actually groomed by this volunteer group for fat tire biking. So that's obviously an increasing up-and-coming sport. You know, it's getting more and more, you know, more and more people are doing that.
My brother's trying to get me into it. Yeah,
okay.
It's definitely getting more and more popular.
Yes. Right. In addition to those single track trails, there's also there's also a multi-use trail. So that is actually groomed. It's a wider trail. We set track for cross country skiers. People can snowshoe on that. And then opposite side is set for additional single track mountain biking on that multi-use trail. So, a lot of opportunities at Powers Bluff. Not too far down the road, Richfield 360 County Forest. We have multiple miles of, again, multi-use trail. So it's groomed for those three areas, fat tire biking, snowshoeing, and tracks set for cross-country skiing. So a lot of people, if they're ice fishermen, fisherwomen, they would go out to some of our lakes we've got. So we have access to Nepco Lake, Lake Wazicha, and Dexter Lake. So we keep those areas plowed out. There's some restrooms at each one of those locations for people to use. So today's great ice-making weather. So hopefully last season, not only did we not have snow, we didn't have real good cold weather for the ice fishermen either. So
We didn't get a chance to really talk about that as much as we certainly talked about the ATV and snowmobilers and that, and certainly deserves the time it did. But I have so many friends. In fact, I think almost every one of my friends ice fish, and they were very upset about that last year.
Yeah.
That is one of those ones there. We're hoping to have that back this year. And another great one to bring up, too. Something to look forward to with some of these great areas that we have coming up. And I also wanted to look at the current and future projects going on over in the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department. And I don't want to, you know, get you in trouble here and have you share something you're not supposed to, but please share something you're not supposed to. There is some great things going on over there, Chad.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, so we're just finishing up a pretty large project in... I guess, emergency management, which is a department in Wood County. We've been working with them. Primarily, they were kind of the grant writer for this project, and they're going to be utilizing it as well. But it's basically a storm shelter at our Southwood County Park. So it's for that purpose. If you're aware, or if you've been around here for a while, we have pretty frequently had some pretty large storms, mainly around the state water ski show time. Yeah. Seems like July is a pretty popular time.
It does.
And there's a lot of people in that area. And not just that time, but we have a lot of different events that go on in that park. Obviously, the campground as well, the trail that goes around the lake. You know, a lot of large community events are out there. Yeah. So it made sense to have an area where if something's going on, we have a storm event coming through, you know, people can come into that and utilize that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, obviously we're not constantly having storms. So we made it, we designed it for the purpose of having it really as a multi-use shelter building. Mm-hmm. It's gonna benefit those that rent the adjacent open shelter. So there's going to be some indoor flush toilets for them to use instead of having to use the vault toilets, a utility sink, kind of a sink for cleaning up, things like that. We also added some countertop and additional electric to that open shelter. So that's going to benefit that shelter as well. We haven't come up with the final policies, procedures as far as when the actual storm room or storm shelter can be rented, but it does have heat. It does have air conditioning. So our intention is to actually have that reservable for different events as well. But again, we have to decide when we want to do that. Yeah. Obviously, anyone that would reserve that would also have to open the doors for others to come in, in the event of a large storm event or something like that. So just adding another venue for different people, different events to come into Southwood County Park.
It's a great investment. It's a great investment in our community, in our Parks and Forestry Department. It's another opportunity to make some funds that can help the department, help our community. That's great. I will say, on a personal note, too, it is a great place for a venue. My sister had her wedding out there, the exact spot. Man, it's one of the best weddings we've had in our family. We had a blast out there. It was a wonderful time, and it's a great venue. And then you add this on top of it. There you go. That's even better. It's a great opportunity, something to keep in mind with the upcoming warmer, you know, wedding season around the corner, some of that, or just events in general, family get-togethers, all of that.
Sure. So that was a large project we're just finishing up. And again, we don't have it on our reservation site yet. Mm-hmm. We still have to finalize what those, you know, what the policies are going to be and procedures and things like that. Another project that we're working on currently is we're building a new maintenance shop up at Powers Bluff. So if people that are aware are familiar with the park, there is a existing maintenance shop up on top of the hill in the area of the shelter building, top of the tubing hill area, things like that. So it's adjacent to the communication tower that's up there. Next year, that shop we plan on removing, and we would then have our operations at the base of the hill off of Highway N to the north. So not really a facility for park users per se, but just more internal operations. It's going to really improve things on our end.
Yeah, and it's going to help users. It's going to help people using that park, whether they realize it or not. It's certainly going to help you guys do your work. That's really cool to hear. That's great to hear.
Yeah, so again, a lot of things going on at Powers Bluff. The highway department that we oftentimes work with, they do a lot of work for us because of our projects that we have going on. They just finished up recently doing the site prep for what is going to be the future trailhead shelter building. Hmm. So all these trails that were put in, you know, the long-range plan was to basically have a trailhead shelter for trail users year-round, but also have an enclosed area again for the purpose of having different community events, things like that. What's kind of exciting, still in the talks phase, but we are looking at, again, with those volunteer group up there, the trails group, of actually hosting a couple larger biking events next summer already.
Cool.
And that really was the intention when we started designing and building these trails, was not only to have it for the general public, but also to have facilities, trails, things like that, that could host these larger events, which obviously bring a lot of people into our communities, whether they're going to be, you know, camping in our campgrounds or staying in Wisconsin Rapids or Marshfield hotels. You know, a couple of these events that we're talking about, they bring in, you know, over 1,000 people for these events.
Yeah, so these are revenue builders.
They got to stay somewhere, right?
Yeah,
Eat somewhere and all that good stuff. So we're excited about that.
And, Chad, before we wrap up, I did want to mention there's also a great, a cool opportunity happening at Sarah Park.
Yes. So, basically next Tuesday is the county board, and at that county board meeting, they are going to consider and possibly vote on taking over management and potentially within the next few years taking over ownership of that park. So a lot of the listeners out here, I'm sure, are familiar with Sarah Park. You know, its history kind of stems from the paper mills and employees of those mills, and it's kind of evolved over the years where the last multiple years it has been open to the general public as well. But it's a pretty exciting opportunity for us. The owners of the property, Quipco, or Consolidated Water Power Company, approached myself, approached Wood County, just to kind of see if we would consider taking over the management of that. And I kind of ran up the flagpole, and there was a lot of support from my committee and other county board members. So stay tuned. You know, it's whenever you take over, this is my first go around with taking over an existing property and facilities and things like that. There's a lot of unknowns as far as, you know, condition of property, equipment, all that good stuff. So be patient, but I'm very confident if this goes through, we're going to get it up to snuff, up to our standards, very quality campground and park and shelter facilities moving into the future. So next year being our 90th year,
wow,
it's kind of a cool thing. We would start that lease essentially as of January 1st. And hopefully for the next, I don't know, 100 years, we'll have another park in the system and really have a quality place for people to go. So
you can tell Chad how good Chad is at this. He waited to the end to drop that one. That's a big one. Yeah, that's a big story, right? Well done, sir. But first off, really does give some good, I would say, a really good vibe to it with them reaching out first. That's certainly a good sign, and that certainly is something. You don't see that every day with that. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting part of this. But the revenue building that can be, the different thing that could be for communities and stuff. I've heard nothing but good things about that park since I've lived out here and everything. So the idea of it being even more accessible to people, or it being even maybe brought up more or something, there's nothing but positives from my angle on this one. It's really cool to hear. Thank you for sharing that, Chad.
Yes.
That's really interesting.
We're excited. You know, it definitely adds work to our already full workload, but We'll get her done. So,
as we're getting done here, we'll talk more about this story, of course, next time you join us and everything. And please keep us in mind when you get some news on that one. But we do want to remind everybody as well that our Wood County Parks and Forestry Department have gift certificates available. It's a great gift for somebody. Keep that in mind this holiday season. And certainly wanted people to be able to reach out to you guys for questions if they had any follow up questions. So, Dan, if people want to reach out to you, how can they get in touch with you and find out more?
Well, you can always call the Wood County Parks office. They usually route them to either Chad or I, you know, for any questions. We keep each other informed if one knows more about something than the other, for the most part. So if somebody's out of the office, somebody's available. And
sure.
I mean, Parks number is 421-8422. I mean,
yeah. And that is the Rapids number. Keep that in mind. We, of course, our Wood County Parks and Forestry Department covers Marshfield, Pittsville, and Auburndale. So if you're living in one of those areas, it's going to have a different number. You can find that number at woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov. Otherwise, give them a call at 715-421-8400, 421-8400. And be sure to follow them on social media. Great way to keep up to date on things that are going on over there. Get yourself one of those gift certificates. Volunteer with some of the activities going on over there. And help our friends over at the Parks and Forestry Forestry Department. Thanks for joining us, guys. Appreciate the time.
All right. Thanks for having us.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Guess what, Mrs. C?
What, Santa?
We are ready. The Santa room is finally open. Oh, boy. The Santa Claus has really set it up nice this year. What do you think, Mrs. C?
Oh, it's so warm and cozy and welcoming.
What do you think, Mr. Jangles?
It's better than your old room.
All the kids and the families can come now and they can take free pictures with Santa.
Bring your own camera, cell phone. Take as many pictures as you like.
And it's all free.
Yes.
Well, how do they find out about us?
Go to our Facebook page, Santa Central Wisconsin.
And they can book a time to come see us?
Yes, definitely. And pets, too.
I think the cookies are really good.
Now, we only have so many cookies and you can't eat them all.
Too late.
Mr. Jingle.
I'll have to make some more then.
Our head off. We need to retire him.
I'm already retired.
Oh, okay. Make sure you come check with us, set up a time, and come and see us.
We're ready. Santa Central Wisconsin.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Merry Christmas.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. If you're cold, your pets are too. Bring them inside. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains why.
If dogs have to remain outdoors, they'll need to be inside of an enclosed kennel with a doghouse as a shelter from the sub-zero temperatures. Just like people, pets' cold tolerance can vary from pet to pet, based on their coat, body fat, activity level, and health. So be aware of your animal's tolerance for the cold weather and adjust accordingly. For example, you'll probably need to shorten your dog's walks in frigid temperatures. Along with short-haired pets, short-legged pets may also become colder faster because their bellies and bodies are more likely to come in contact with the snow-covered ground. And pets with diabetes, heart disease, kidney disease, and hormonal imbalances may also have a harder time regulating their body temperatures. And the same goes for very young and very old animals. If you need help determining your pet's temperature limits, consult your vet. And some things that you can do is provide choices or stay inside. Play dress up and consider a dog sweater or a coat. And always check their paws. They could crack or bleed from stepping on ice and are also prone to frostbite, just like us. And be aware, if your pet is whining, shivering, seems anxious, slows down or stops moving, or they seem weak and start looking for warm places to burrow, get them back inside quickly because they're showing signs of hypothermia.
Wisconsin residents will see the largest increase in K-12 property taxes since 2009 this year. As school districts across the state struggle to keep up with their funding needs, they've turned to their communities with operational referendums. Nearly two-thirds of all districts in the state have passed a referendum over the past few years, and this year residents will pay around $327 million more because of it. The K-12 property taxes increased by 5.7% this year after jumping 5.4% last year. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Even though the parents have already been met several times, there is talk of a new Meet the Parents chapter. Deadline reports that actors Robert De Niro, Terry Polo, Ben Stiller, and Blythe Danner are in talks to appear in the new film. Most of the producer team is returning, but there is no one attached yet to direct. Details about the plot are being kept hush-hush. What on earth could this possibly be about? I'm guessing family-related discomfort. We are learning a lot about Jamie Foxx thanks to his new comedy special on Netflix. In addition to addressing his stroke a couple years ago and the 20-day coma that followed, Foxx used the platform to announce that he is done dating white women, adding humorously that he will no longer eat potato salad and raisins. Before you judge him, if you are, I'm done dating white women too, mostly because I'm married to a white woman who loves potato salad. I don't get it either, Jamie. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, lows of 5 to 10 below. And mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the upper teens. A chance of rain and snow showers late Friday night into early Saturday. Cloudy, rain Saturday afternoon. High mid-30s and near 40 Sunday. Currently, it's 4.
The Badgers.
Fades Max, fakes the three, takes the three. Left side, yes, sir.
Fades.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it. With the right hand, it counts on a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. Streaming live on the Civic Media app.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, a review of the latest Trump transition troubles with Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, December 12th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And in part one today, we are speaking with our great friend, Janelle Weir, horticultural educator with UW-Madison Division of Extension, Marathon County and Wood County. And Janelle, we are all out of time. No, I'm just kidding. We appreciate you and the whole gang over Extension hanging out with us. I always like to warn Janelle beforehand that not only am I a huge fan, but my dad loves this segment. And we always have a fun topic to talk about. We always learn from it. And with the one we got today, not only is it seasonally perfect timing, but I think really interesting, Janelle. We're going to be focusing on choosing and caring for your Christmas trees.
Yeah. So, I mean, timely topic. I'm pretty excited because this information is coming straight from one of our state specialists. So She just released a document, a publication on this topic. And so I'm excited to do what I do best, which is, you know, taking that research from the specialists and bringing it out to my communities.
Well, there's a lot of Wisconsin pride involved in this topic, too, because Wisconsin produces and has a lot of these trees that not only here in Wisconsin, of course, but around the Midwest and throughout the country. People use a lot of our trees and everything. So this is a topic I think people can also take a lot of pride in, and when we're talking about it as well. And people do take pride in these trees, and they have in their living rooms. They're going to take pictures of them. They're going to have them up for family and everything. And we want these trees to look good for you. We want them to be in good place. And what are when it comes to having a regular old Christmas tree, a real Christmas tree, or a fake one, what are the differences? What are some of the benefits of a real tree?
Yeah, so when we think about Christmas trees, and here I'm talking about real trees, but cut trees, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going to maybe distinguish a little bit between live trees, and live trees are going to be either ball and burlapped, or they're going to be still inside of a container. Mm-hmm. They've got the roots. The idea here is going to be to plant them outside after the end of the holiday season. Mm-hmm. That's a lot different than what we're going to be talking about today. So I just wanted to make sure that we're making that distinction.
Yeah.
We're talking about trees that have a very limited time of life. Right? Mm-hmm. They've already been cut. So with these trees, there's still a lot of benefits that come with utilizing these instead of artificial trees. Big one that comes to mind for me is live trees that have been cut. They sequester greenhouse gases, and they remove up to 1 ton of carbon dioxide over the course of their lifetime. So, you know, it's, kind of a single-use product, and there's a bit of time there in the development of this product, right?
Yeah.
And usually it takes, I think, if I remember right, it's about 7 to 10 years for how long for them to grow them out. But over that period of time, they're sequestering all of this carbon dioxide for us, which is going to be important to us, you know, these like little added benefits here and there when we're thinking about climate change as a whole.
Yeah.
And then some of the other things that I think is pretty exciting is, you know, a lot of organizations will recycle those Christmas trees after the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm kind of thinking about organizations like Trouts Unlimited, you know, that they use the trees for habitat restoration. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to, or I'm sorry, also I wanted to mention that you, not just those organizations can utilize them to benefit through recycling the tree itself, but you can use parts of the tree to recycle too, right?
Yeah.
So if you've got, and especially it's cold and we don't have a nice thick snow cover yet, right? So after the holidays, if we still don't have a thick snow cover, it may be prudent to utilize some of those branches, put them down, so you'd be pruning them off the main trunk of the tree, right? Use those branches as a winter mulch to help protect the help protect your perennials, right?
Yeah.
So you could
that's
do
a great
that.
Great idea.
Yeah, wow, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a resource right there. This way, you know, especially we don't really know how the winter's going to turn out, right?
Yeah.
So this is some just another added thing that you can utilize your tree. And then, you know, even if let's say that you live in an apartment, or you don't have perennial beds. That's not a motivation for you, right? You got your vegetable garden, but you already put that to bed way back in the fall. You know what? Municipalities will also often recycle trees, right? And what they do is they'll take them and chip them and basically turn them into a mulch. And then we can use that as a resource to mulch our plants in the spring. So, you know, anytime that we're able to take that that carbon and add it back to the soil, whether you're in sandy soil or you're in a heavy clay soil, adding organic matter in the form of mulch or other forms is just going to be a benefit to your soil.
Yeah. The points you make about these are all noteworthy, and I think a great reminder if you didn't already know. But the sequestering,
sequestering.
Thank you. The greenhouse gases, I don't believe that that's common knowledge. And just in that alone, thank you for being here today. Like, if that's all we mentioned and we just let you go, that right there is impactful information that I don't think a lot of people knew. Thank you for sharing that, Janelle. That's very interesting. As far as selecting the right Christmas tree, that can be a little bit difficult as well, and it's always nice to have some tips on that one.
Yeah, so, you know, this is a live product, right? And just like with any other live product, a fresher is going to be better, right? Think about strawberries, you know, in June, I would rather, always would rather have a local strawberry than a California strawberry. Same is true with your Christmas trees. So a lot of, and I feel uncomfortable throwing shade here. I don't like to talk bad about any businesses or anything, but we should, as consumers, be aware of the fact that a lot of the trees that are coming to really those big box stores, but a lot of times maybe at tree lots or, you know, things like that. Those trees are coming from out west. They're either coming from, they could be coming from Oregon, Washington, or even as far as the western provinces of Canada, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and they're not taking first class flights to CWA, right?
Although that'd be a great image. That image popped in my head right away. Just a bunch of pines just sitting in first class.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, they were cut, you know, a long time ago, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks ago, right? Right. And so they're just simply not as fresh as a local tree would be. How, and then if they're not as fresh, they're going to dry out a lot faster.
Yeah.
They're already going to be in the process of drying out. So how do you know, if you don't have the background information of knowing, you know, hey, you know, you can't ask the tree, you know, let me see your papers. Where were you born? Right.
Right.
So without having that background knowledge, one thing that I would suggest is, you know, if you're looking at trees, no matter what type of tree it is, and we're going to get into species in just a mm-hmm. second, but no matter what type of tree it is, just go ahead and give a tug on a branch, right? Mm. And you want to feel those needles, and the outer needles, right? So I'm talking about the very edge of the branch. Give mm-hmm. it a tug and feel those needles. Do they feel dry? Do they fall out? Do they bend easily? Are they nice and flexible? That's going to give you a clue as to how long ago was this tree cut and how much life does it really have once it's inside your house. Got to keep in mind, once we bring these trees inside our house, they dry out fast. Even if we do everything perfect, mm-hmm. our houses are dry. They're going to dry out fast, right? So we want to make sure that those needles are nice and flexible. And just keep in mind, interior needles being brown and falling off, that's totally normal. Those are last year's needles, you know, that's just part of, that's like our fingernails falling off, mm-hmm. right? That's natural and normal. Mm-hmm. The ends, the tips, if that's drying out, if that's not flexible, that's where you should be paying attention.
Oftentimes, in fact, most of the time you're in, Janelle, I'm learning stuff as we're talking. This is one I knew a little bit. I've gotten to cut my own tree down a couple times, and it was really cool. Both the places I went to, two very different places, right outside of Chicago when I was living there. But both places, they were very adamant about teaching us this. And hey, when you're picking out a tree, don't just look, go by appearance. Grab the tree, touch the tree, pull on the branches, some of that. It was really cool that they shared that information before we went out there and cut the tree down and stuff. It's something I encourage everybody to try at least once in their life, if not multiple times, having a real tree. There's nothing like it. Cutting it down yourself. It's such a great time of year thing to do here. But it's also important to have all these other things in mind while you're doing that. You can do both things and really have a great Christmas tree from it.
Oh, absolutely. And I like that you mentioned, you know, if you cut the tree yourself at, you know, a tree farm that's set up for that, you are probably going to have, well, not probably, you will have the freshest tree possible. So that's best case scenario. Yeah, yeah. And then, follow the other suggestions for the other cases.
And when it comes to types of trees, this one I do need your help on because I love trees. I think they're really awesome, but I can't always tell them apart. So as far as the types of trees we're looking for this time of year to bring into our homes and touching on this, can we get into that a little bit?
Yeah, so there's some basic species that you're going to see if you're out Christmas tree shopping. So big ones, and probably my very favorite, are going to be the firs. So Fraser firs, concolor or white firs, balsams or Douglas firs. Pines are also a popular one. We'll talk a little bit more about them in a second, but those are going to be your Scots pines and your eastern white pines. Less popular for our area is going to be your spruces, so your Black Hill spruce, Norway, and Colorado blue spruces. Very rarely will you see junipers, and we'll get into why you will very rarely see junipers. But let's talk first when I was writing this up and thinking about this, I kind of started thinking of it as an award show, right?
I like that. Oh, yeah. Perfect.
So we've got up first, best needle retention and color retention. Mm. And by far, those are going to be your firs, your true firs. So your balsams and your Fraser firs. Also, honorable mention, we'll give the white firs too.
They deserve that.
As far as best aroma, hands down, balsam firs. They are incredibly fragrant. But you know what? You bring a Fraser fir inside your house and you're going to just smell Christmas too. So, balsam's probably the most aromatic, but, you know, Fraser's got some really good things going for it as well. In particular, Fraser's and white fir, they've got stiffer branches than a balsam. And so if you've got heavier ornaments, and I'm really thinking about those cherished heirloom ornaments that you do not want to break because they're irreplaceable, right?
Yes.
You may want to then lean further into the Fraser fir because it's going to have those stiffer branches than the balsam.
So, that's a neat point there. I wouldn't have thought of. Oh, that's interesting.
You got to kind of, weigh it out, personal preferences.
This next category, I really feel like this is my year. I really feel like needles is my year. I think I'm going to do good in this category.
All right. So, thinking about those needles, those white firs, they have got these really gorgeous, if you're looking for that silver blue color, go for the white firs. Mm. And they also have a really nice smell. It's not as strong as the balsams, but the smell is going to be almost citrus-like. Mm. And then next up, we've got our Frasers. Frasers are really kind of a dark green on the top, but they're light on the bottom. They've got white undersides. Keep in mind, though, they are pretty pokey, okay? Mm-hmm. Those needles, they're not as flexible and as soft as the balsams.
Yeah.
Rounding out this category, we've got our balsams. And balsams are going to be kind of a bluish-green color. The top and the bottom of the needles are going to be about the same color, but they are a lot softer. So if you've got littles around, you may want to lean into the balsams.
Mm. And is there a perfect tree for pets? Is there? No, not just they good luck. That's
right.
That's a good luck.
But
what about some other ones, though, when it comes to these trees?
Yeah. So I had mentioned those pines, right? So the Scots pine is going to have the needle retention is not as fantastic, and the aroma is just not as there as it is with the firs. You know, the Eastern white pine, I only had an Eastern white pine once, and beautiful tree. It has this, like, really... The tree that year, I remember it. It was gorgeous. It had just a beautiful shape to it. Weak branches. Branches so weak that the main decorating that year was lights and fabric bows because it couldn't support any of my ornaments.
Oh,
right?
That had to feel. Oh, I feel for
it
you.
It was just a surprise.
Yeah.
Now I know.
Save a little time putting up the tree. Okay, yeah, saves a little time. But, good note. Those are really good notes, Janelle. Things I don't think we necessarily think about when picking out our tree.
And then a couple of others I just wanted to mention. Those spruces that I mentioned earlier, they don't have that needle retention that we're looking at with the firs. The needles are sharper, and they're not as aromatic. And then junipers, just simply, they're not very practical. It's hard to get ornaments around the branches. They don't make fantastic trees. So I would say save those for, if you absolutely have to.
Yeah. Now, we have gotten people pretty set up for this, Janelle. Now they picked out their tree. Now what?
So the first thing I would do is reach into the very center of the tree, grab the trunk, and you're just going to bang it on the ground several times. Bam, bam, bam. What you're doing is shaking loose any of those internal needles that are brown. Remember I mentioned this is a very natural thing. It's going to have brown needles in the interior. That's okay, right? But those are going to fall inside of your house. So while you're outside at the tree lot or wherever, before you bring it in, make sure you shake out those dead needles. Mm-hmm. And then next, we want to make sure that we're putting a fresh cut on that tree. We want to make sure that we're removing at least a minimum of 1 to 2 inches off of that base. If you need to make your tree shorter than that to fit it in the place that you've got for inside your house, that's fine. Just make sure that you're at a minimum, you're cutting off at least 1 to 2 inches. Now's a good time too to go ahead and remove those lower limbs. That way they're not going to interfere with your ability to water the tree as well as stuff it full of presents, right?
Right.
And then a lot of times people think that they should either do an angle cut on the base. Yeah. No angle cuts. These are not cut flowers. They're trees. And so, a lot of times people go, oh, I know I'm supposed to do an angle cut with the cut flowers. Not in this case, okay? So straight cuts, and then along the same lines too, we're not drilling holes into the side of the trunk. Sometimes people think that if they drill holes into the side of the trunk, it helps with that uptake of moisture. Actually, it interferes with the uptake of moisture. So just a nice straight cut off of the bottom is really all you need. Mm-hmm. And then make sure that you're getting that tree in the tree stand with water within 2 hours of making that fresh cut. Mm-hmm. So, if you're going to be, you're getting the tree at the tree lot and the folks at the tree lot say, I'll go ahead and do a fresh cut. But you know that this tree is going to be sitting in a protected place outdoors for 2 or 3 days before you're going to be able to bring it in.
Yeah.
Then you don't need to get that first. You don't need to do the cut at the tree lot. Wait until you're going to bring it inside. Okay. Really important because once that, what happens is the trunk is going to make a seal just like a scab with our skin, right? And once that seal is formed, we are all done. So I want to talk real quickly about that tree stand. We want to make sure that the reservoir in the tree stand holds about a gallon of water, okay? And you will always always have water inside that reservoir. Mm. I really, you know, I'm speaking to my Gen X cohorts out there. I think that they probably will remember what I'm going to refer to next. But we really want to treat the water in the tree stand to like a Magawe. Right?
Oh, yes.
So,
oh, that's great.
If that doesn't ring a bell to you, think gremlins, right?
Yes, yes,
and so
yes.
These are, the Magawe are the little creatures before they become gremlins.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think about what is that one rule? That one rule. You do not feed them after midnight.
Do not. Yes.
So I want that inside of your head, right? You do not let that tree stand go empty, right?
That's
otherwise, bad things happen.
Yeah.
Here, your house is not going to get filled with gremlins, but instead, your tree is going to seal up tight and it's not going to take any more water.
It's a really good note and a great way for us to remember that, especially somebody like me. Yeah, I'm definitely going to remember that. I wanted a Magawe when I was a kid, so I'm definitely remembering that. And it's a great note to wrap up on here, too. When it comes to this, I will say if you have a real tree and you're worried about keeping up on the watering of it and everything, if you have kids around, it's a great job, quote unquote, job for kids. I know when I was little, my mom and dad often put me in charge of this. And man, did I take it serious. I loved having this as a job. And it also felt like I got a couple extra points before Christmas, which if you were a kid like me, you needed those points. But it's a great way for them to feel involved in all of this, too, and to give them and kids oftentimes love these little jobs, especially this time of year where they feel like they're helping and being adult-like and everything. It's another great way of doing this, of putting it on the calendar, on your phone, anything you need to do to help you remember to keep that tree, nice, and because trees love to drink. They're thirsty.
Mm-hmm. I know for me, I utilize my phone a lot. I just set Google reminders for myself. I'm basically, my phone's telling me what to do from one step to the next.
It works. Whatever it takes to keep that tree healthy. And lastly, of course, recycling. That's such a great part of this.
Yeah. Like I mentioned before, in those benefits. So, you know, either through your municipality, or if you don't have local tree pickup, then think about some other opportunities that you have. You can donate them. Oftentimes, like I mentioned, there's some different organizations that will take them for habitat restoration, or depending if you've got a lot of property, maybe that you could do a little habitat restoration too, and that's a great resource to just get started with.
It's a great way for that tree to have a second life there and to really put do its job and put back into the world like they'd love to do. Janelle, always an important and great conversation with you. And I know that people you like to have follow-up questions about some of the great information you share with us. How can they reach you if they need to?
So reaching out directly to the Extension office is always a fantastic great way to reach me. That phone number is 715-421-8440. Otherwise, you can connect directly with me through email, and that's going to be my first name dot last name. So janel.wehr@wisc.edu.
Always appreciate the time. Always have a great time talking with you, Janelle. Thank you so much. Wishing you and yours a happy holidays, and say the same to our friends at Extension, please.
You as well.
Thank you. And we'll have more coming up for you here at Midday Magazine on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will be recombobulating Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area to break down all the news, and we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. New York City Mayor Eric Adams has met with President-elect Donald Trump's choice for border czar, Tom Holman.
We will not be a safe haven for those who commit violent acts. We don't do it for those who are citizens, and we're not going to do it for those who are undocumented.
In Israel, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says Israel and Hamas have agreed on the broad outlines of a ceasefire deal in Gaza.
We're now looking to close a hostage release deal and a ceasefire, which would stop the war and reunite hostages with their families.
A survey of 3,000 hourly workers finds the benefit they most want is flexibility with schedules. Atif Siddiqui is the founder and CEO of Branch, a workforce payments platform that conducted the survey.
The prioritization of flexibility over traditional benefits like paid time off and health insurance really reflect the changing needs of the workforce.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.